Good morning. My presentation about the modern biomass partition, nitrogen and the soil water dynamics of energy chain. According to the 2010 USDA biofuel strategic production reports, actually, the dedicated bioenergy crops, second generation bioenergy crops for the South Central and South United States, including biomass sorghum, energy chain, perennial grass, and earthwood biomass. Although there have been a lot of studies done on the biomass productivity of energy crops in different sites, our ability to predict biomass production under different environments are still very limited. So the objective of our study was basically to quantify the energy chain growth and development in relation to major environmental factors including temperature, nitrogen, water, and solar radiation, develop and evaluate an energy chain plant growth model, predict the energy chain biomass production under different environment conditions, and also conduct landscape-wide simulation analysis to identify the best biorefinery sites and develop alternate biofuel production plans. My presentation today will be focused on the first three objectives. Actually, this is an ongoing collaboration between Texas A&M AgriKnife Research and the Chevron Technology Venture, and is funded by Chevron Technology Venture, including multiple sites and also multiple bioenergy crops, including four genotypes of the energy cane and also four genotypes of mist cane. So my presentation will be only focused on the energy cane. These are based on the four of the genotypes. The TSP0546 actually is a genotype between Texas and Brazil, and the other one is TCP, the actually Texas and the Canary Point collaboration between, basically the USDA European Research Institute in Canary Point, Florida. So the 47, 91, 72, and 96. Each of the genotypes have their specific, characteristics in terms of growth and development. The field experiment basically was designed to collect data that could be used to estimate the parameters for the crop model we plan to develop. Some of the major parameters including basically stock density, plant height, biomass bus structure type in terms of the roots, leaf blade, leaf sheaths, and stems, individual leaf lengths with an area, number of main stem nodes, number of first leaf and leaf, nitrogen score, biomass yield, biomass current, and also the concentration of nitrogen and total non-carbon hydrate, non-structured carbon hydrate for each structure type over the crop growing season. This actually shows a graph of four of the four genotypes in terms of the total number of nodes over the crop growing season. These are basically cumulative degraded from about 9 degrees Celsius. Each of the figure actually represents the results of 24 plants over the growing season. You can see basically from early in the growing season, number of nodes produced was much higher, and with the progression of the season, basically the node production decreased slowly. Basically, this cumulative total node production can be fitted to a Weber cumulative distribution function. So once you take the derivative of this function, you get the node production rate per degree days over the growing season. As based on the graph, you can see basically, the node production rate was highest early in the plant season, and then kind of decreases gradually over the course. The main reason was basically our hypothesis was basically it was under the potential was not really realized. One of the notable notice distinguishes between one of the genotype TSP0647921, the decrease in node production rate is much slower compared to other three genotypes. As a result, this genotype produces more nodes over the growing season. This is a graph showing the maximum leaf biomass for leaves at different node positions. This is also a result of, I think, about 15 to 20 plants. You can see basically for leaves on early node positions, the biomass, maximum biomass was much lower. With the progression of this, the node position, the biomass getting higher, but it kind of reaches a maximum around about node position 20. So it kind of stays there for the rest of the season. This part is different from the regular conventional grain-based crop like rice or corn. For those crops, for the upper field leaves, the leaf biomass usually goes down, so the leaf biomass in terms of node position shows a kind of bear-shaped curve. That was mainly because once this green crop reaches the reproductive stage, most of the biomass, actually is allocated to the to the grain itself, going to the reproductive, or itself going to the vegetative growth. These graphs actually show the similar trend of leaf sheath biomass growth, maximum leaf sheath biomass over time. It shows a similar pattern. It increases to a certain level. Once it reached about leaf node number 20, it stays there for the rest of the season. This actually is a graph of total current dry weight over the season. This is it's based on the stalk without leaf sheath and leaf blade. It shows a more or less kind of exponential growth. But if you divide this total current biomass by the number of nodes, you get a pretty much linear increase in terms of the biomass growth per node. So these are some of the data we collected, part of the data we collected basically were used to parameterize the energy control model we have been developing. It's a kind of cohort-based population model. It was based on the RISE GSM developed by Wu and Wirth in 1998. It's called a RISE population simulation model. A unique feature about this model is basically it's cohort-based. It's similar to the population of plants in the 1 square meter area instead of an average plant. You can see basically we have a number of type of cohorts. Basically, thinner cohorts depends on when the thinner emerges from this surface. So the earlier thinners were mainly good to the thinner cohort number one. With the progression of the thinner emergence, they were good to different thinner cohorts. And with internal cohort, we have this what's called a structure cohort. It's basically like a leaf, sheath, column, root, panicle grains. We don't have panicle grains for the sugarcane for this one. So it's been a structure cohort. And with the structure cohort, you have this number of age classes. So these individuals in each class can move along this age group and become mature. So it's kind of a what is called a distributed DNA processes. In terms of supply demand allocation, this one uses a layered canopy structure. It's basically, the leaves are the upper node protein that captures the light first, and then the leaves are lower layer that captures the light, whatever is left. It's kind of, bears noise and exponential decay of light. In terms of the soil dynamics, we're using basically two dimensional soil model, which was the Rhizosphere 2D by Boone and co author in 1995. This is basically the very famous Cotton model, the Cotton Gossam Comax model, the soil model was used by the Cotton Gossam Comax models. It basically divides soil into a number of layers. Each layer divided based on the soil in a number of blocks. This is in a two-dimensional soil profiles. In this two-dimensional profile, basically the water movement is using a tipping bucket approach, it's a very simple approach. And also it's similar to some of the other process in terms of the mineralization, nitrogen diffusion, nitrification, nitrogen denitrification, clay fixation, nitrogen and water uptake, leaching, and also root growth and root aging. A unique feature about this two-dimensional soil model is basically the plant, the root biomass growth is dynamic. It's not predefined. It depends on the soil biomass in that specific block, and also depends on the environment in that block in terms of the soil penetration distance, soil temperature, soil moisture, and nitrogen. So it's very dynamic. This actually shows a similar result of the through the biomass over this two-dimensional soil profile. Basically, this one, the soil profile is 1 meter depth, and also 1.5 meter wide is based on the root spacing of the sugar plant, on energy plant. So actually, this one on the right, actually the plants are located on the left and right edge of the soil profiles. This one shows the four snapshots of the root biomass growth over the growing season, the red color actually represents the biomass. The darker the color, the higher the biomass, the root of biomass in this soil profiles. So as you can see with the progression of the season, the root grows basically downwards and also grows sideways. So occupy some of the soil. This is only half of the soil profile. This other half is basically symmetric. So I didn't plot here in the graphics. This is a soil nitrogen dynamics in the two-dimensional soil profile. The plants are basically located on the left and right edge of the plants. It's symmetrical. So if you look at on July the 1st, it's on the upper left and also upper right part of this soil profile, you can see the color is much lighter. It's mainly because that's where most of the roots are located. So roots take up the nitrogen, so the result is the concentration is much lower. This also, you can see on August the 1st, you can see on the upper left and also upper red part of the sodium profile is the nitrogen concentration is much lower. And also you can see basically on the newer graph on October 1st, November and December, I'm not sure you can see that, after the lower bottom, lower part of this sodium profile, you can see the color is nice and darker. That means because the nitrogen movement through the soil layers. In Beaumont, Texas, we have about 150 centimeters of rainfall every year. So this amount of rainfall helps move the biomass down, helps move the nitrogen down the soil, resulting in soil niches. This is actually soil water dynamics in this soil profile. Basically, you can see on November the 1st and also on July the 1st, you can see on the upper left and right corner of the soil profile, you can see a slightly different light color. That means because also because most of the roots are located in that area, it's basically the root water uptake was taking up most of the water, and on the other rest of the profile, basically we still have a slightly red color. The water moisture is still very high. So the lighter the color, the lower the soil moisture content. This is actually a simulated energy biomass prediction using for genotype 1. The genotype is called TSP0546. We use the wet data from 2000 to 2009. This one basically doesn't have, we just assume there's no irrigation. Because there's plenty of irrigation, of precipitation in Beaumont, Texas. This is run over 2 year period, but you can see that there is also still a lot of variation in terms of the biomass yield over this 10 year period for different structure types. This variation is mainly because of a result of the interactions between the different environmental factors, especially temperature, solarization, precipitation, and also soil nitrogen water dynamics. This is an ongoing process. We are still doing water calibration and validation in terms of the water dynamics, nitrogen dynamics, root biomass dynamics, and also above ground biomass dynamics for different structure types. We want to make sure the individual processes, we capture the individual processes, and then now we further step will be able to, once these individual components are being calibrated, now we can do a simulation and analysis to achieve some of other objectives in terms of to predict biomass prediction under different nitrogen water stresses and also different irrigation scheme, conduct sensitive biomass prediction and also conduct landscape-wide simulation analysis to identify the best biorefinery sites and also design basically landscape-wide crop system pattern to optimize food, feed, fiber, and biofuel production. Thank you very much for your attention. Yes.
Is there any reason why you chose to develop a new model and rather than using an existing model, maybe calibrating it or modifying an existing model?
That's a good question. I think that the one we have is basically, a lot of the existing models, have, you can access Xcuber, but you cannot change the code. And there are some features we've not incorporated into the model, so we can modify, we can change it to the program. And also, this is also part of a major effort to be applied to different platforms. We have some of our model based, individual based model approach. So, the reason we develop our own is we want to provide the capability for us to make any changes to the algorithm or to the individual components. Hey,
thanks.
Yes, actually, the Rizo 2D was in Fortune. So we borrowed most of the code, but it's written in C sharp. The criteria is basically we have root penetration distance. So we depend on the soil property. Another one is basically depend on the soil moisture content. If the moisture in this block is very low, the potential to grow into the other cell is going to be low. So it's a function of the root penetration distance. Soil moisture content and soil nitrogen. So it's a dynamic. It's actually described in the right to the 2D in the code.
So the root penetration distance is an input.
No, but penetration resistance is an input. But how the root grows depends on those combined factors of penetration distance, water content, and nitrogen content.
Penetration.
Penetration distance. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.